Alright, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the CAGcast. Wombat, you are here.
I am. In all my glory.
In all your wombatty glory, and of course, I, GBD, is here.
You is.
I is be here. Of course, this is our famous Tokyo Game Show wrap-up show.
The Tokyo Game Show show?
Yes, Tokyo Game Show show. As Frisky Tanuki correctly predicted, I did absolutely no Tokyo Game Show coverage during the show.
Yeah, I'd understand, you know, if, like, say your site had something like live blogs, like blogs that were easy for anyone to post to, then maybe you would have done something. But since your site clearly doesn't have those kind of, you know, essentials that a lot of sites have these days, I can understand why you wouldn't be able to do something like that. I mean, also, it would require to have something like a camera that takes photographs, which I also know you don't have,
right,
on either your phone or in regular camera form. And so, you know, these are all these little things that would be required to report
right
from the show that you couldn't do.
I may actually have all of those things, except for the determination to do it.
Yeah, well, you also have that really demanding day job that keeps you away from...
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I went to the show all day, and, you know, I'm not going to come home and start doing more work, right?
I went to work all day today, and now I'm home doing more work.
I know, but I guess I figure enough people are covering it that I just like to wait for the CAGcast and talk about it on the CAGcast. I mean, how many different pictures of Tokyo Game Show do you need to see? I mean, my pictures are going to look like everybody else's pictures. Unless I dress up in a Godzilla costume and start running around like a maniac, it's going to be exactly the same thing.
I think people want to see pictures of you at the Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah, that's the thing is, though, I go by myself, so I don't know how I could really swing that. I need to hire a cameraman, maybe.
Maybe. Next year.
Maybe next year. Maybe next year you come and you can be the cameraman.
And I'll be your cameraman? Sounds like a plan.
We can switch off. I could take pictures of you. You could take pictures of me. You can hold my penis when I go to the bathroom.
I can't wait. I'll bring my tweezers.
Do you know I found like the best bathroom at Tokyo Game Show if you have to take a dump? Because that's a valid concern. Because usually like these big convention centers, you don't want to take a dump there. Because first of all, there's a lot of people in and out and you can't really focus, you know, and also the toilets aren't the most clean thing, even in Japan. But I found these bathrooms that are really underutilized. It's right where they do like the keynote addresses. It's like the business area. So not only are there's nobody at the bathrooms, but the toilets have the ass wash. Like they're nice. They're nice toilets.
A bidet kind of setup.
Well, you know, like I have in my apartment.
Yeah. I get it.
Like most places have. So
yeah.
I took advantage of that. I made a note there early, you know, about those great bathrooms. And then when the time finally came, I went back there and I used the ass wash and I didn't do a good job drying back there.
Oh.
Because you gotta just dry.
Yeah.
You know, you're pretty clean, but you're wet. And I didn't do a good job drying. And like the next day, I guess like, you know, because I walked around so much and all that I got like a rash right underneath my Niznax.
Ooh.
Right. Either that or I got like herpes from the ass wash. I'm not sure.
Did you get an ointment?
I didn't do anything. I just tried to air it out. I sleep in the nude to try to air it out.
I bet the missus is very happy about your trip to the Tokyo Game Show.
She would not know unless I told her.
Okay, that's good to know.
I did tell her, and she didn't. She thought I got it from the toilet.
Oh, okay, yeah,
but she's
not from not from some girl dressed up like Chun-Li outside the bathroom.
No, I did take a picture of her, actually.
I bet you did.
Somehow I managed to take a picture of her. But that's in my personal collection. Because I was holding the camera below her knees and shooting it up.
I understand. I saw the shots of the Chun-Li girl online, which showed just people taking pictures of her underneath her skirt for some reason.
Anyway, we're going to talk all about Tokyo Game Show and the tons of games that I played a little further into the show. Let's see. How should we start things off? Maybe we'll do a little bit of last week's show feedback.
Sounds good.
I had another disgusting story, but I figured I would, since I gave you one disgusting story off
the
cuff.
I'm going to say that genital rash is disgusting enough for one episode.
Right. I had another one, but I'm going to say
another genital rash?
No. Another disgusting story, but I'll save it for a little later. Let's do a little bit of some show feedback from last week's show, and then we'll get all into Tokyo Game Show excitement. Although, to be perfectly honest, it wasn't that exciting. I find it exciting for other reasons, actually.
I bet you did.
You know, not slightly less nerdy reasons than anybody else. Anyway, last week's show, we talked about a few different topics. One of them was the used game market and how developers and publishers, rather, seem to be trying to do their best to kill off the market. And one of the things that they're doing is basically, they're withholding features from the release of the game and including one-time use coupon codes that come with the game, and then you can download those removed features. We talked about how I thought that they should just lower the price of new games overall, and that would help kill off the used market, but you think that they need to charge $60 a game in order to keep the industry alive and healthy, I guess.
Well, that's part of it. And also, if you lower the price of games from $60 to $50, the used game will just be $45.
No, I meant a more drastic reduction. But I understand. We talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
Anyway, Holy Headshot had a few comments. And he was wondering why we didn't mention other venues besides, you know, like buying used games at GameStop. Because he basically says, you know, we're in a recession right now, and $60 games sales are not going to work right now, no matter what you withhold from the final product. And he said, this is going to be a cheap gamer generation, which is good for me, Wombat.
Very good for you.
He says, I personally troll eBay for my games and stay 6 months or more behind the release and play primarily PC titles, which are not sold used at eBay or GameStop anymore. And he recently got his hands on Assassin's Creed, and it was packaged free with Crisis Warhead for only $25. And, you know, he makes a good point, actually, about staying behind the release curve because, you know, there's certain, like, single-player games, unless you're, like, so in love with the franchise that you need to play it on day one, there's not much reason to pick it up otherwise unless you really feel a need to pay full price for the game. But he also goes on to make an excellent point. He says, you know, if these publishers are going after, you know, basically they're going after the used game market, you know, what about Gamefly? Because Gamefly must hurt used game sales, and, you know, people rent the games and then, you know, ship it back and get a new one. And it's, you know, relatively speaking, it's pretty cheap, and the publishers aren't getting any money from that too. So are eBay and Gamefly next on the hit list?
I'm going to say the reason with Gamefly and Game Rental is that I think it's actually a very small market in comparison to the used game sale market and the new game sale market. I doubt it makes up even a full percent.
What about eBay, though? eBay is super popular. I mean, Gamefly is popular.
I'm not saying Gamefly isn't popular. I'm just saying, you know, how many copies of each game do they get to pass around?
I don't know.
That's the question. That's the question. Is it, you know, do they only buy, you know, 10 games and that's it? Or, I mean, I'm sure it's more than that. It would have to be. But how many games do they buy? And is it more of a copy of a game? Like, say they have, I don't know, 500 Madden 08s as opposed to the 5,000 Madden 08s or Madden 09s, I should say, that have been sold used by GameStop.
But keep in mind, though, you know, those games, just people who are signing up for Gamefly, they'll, you know, they'll wait for the game. They'll put it in their queue and they'll just wait for it. So they don't necessarily need, they don't need to have as many as Gamefly. And at the end of the day, it's still costing the publisher that sale because that person who's got that Gamefly subscription is waiting for the game to come in the mail and they're not buying it. So I think
what about
he makes
all the people that will rent a game, fall in love with it, and realize they need to have it, and go out and buy it after they rented it.
Well, maybe they'll buy it used from Gamefly because they can do the keep it at Gamefly.
That is true. I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah. So that's. I mean, Gamefly. Obviously, the publishers can't be thrilled with Gamefly. Of course, you're right, Wombat. That it's on a much larger scale at GameStop because GameStop is huge. He also says, you know, eBay too. What about eBay? eBay's huge, and a publisher's going to want a piece of that, and It's a very controversial subject, especially for cheap ass gamers who like to get the games as cheap as possible, and they don't want, certainly aren't going to want to buy crippled games, I guess. And but will that be enough to get them to buy at full price, or will something else happen? I don't know. Maybe they'll just start pirating games. They'll just say screw it. I mean, this is like, you know, what happened in the PC market. The PC publishers are get consumed with piracy. Okay, so they don't have the used game problem, but they have a piracy problem. So then they put DRM on the games, and that turns off their customers because it just becomes a hassle installing these games. And they're like, screw it, I might as well just pirate it anyway. But we'll see. Also, Holy Headshot had another comment. He said, he goes, you guys disappoint me. Have you only caught on to Nintendo shtick? They have mastered the art of repackaging and reselling you the same thing. They know that the generation nagging their parents to buy games is not the same generation that was spoon-fed NES and SNES titles throughout their childhood. So now, ever since the Game Boy Advance, we've seen little innovation and the insertion of the same old games selling for Wii points on the virtual console. Is anyone else sick of Mario Kart and all of the lackluster, repolished Mario junk? The next evolution are the Wiimakes. Yeah, Nintendo, you are the most successful lazy company I can think of. Then says, keep up the good show, guys. Another good point, I think. I mean, you got to admit that Nintendo is resting on their laurels. And they just, I mean, this is something
Nintendo
is.
You could? Oh, wait, you do.
Well, I rest. I just rest.
You do just quite rest. Fun. Yeah,
but this is not just a Nintendo issue. I mean, all game publishers are guilty of coming out with the next sequel that, you know, adding the number plus one to the title, and you don't really see much in the way of changes. But true. Nintendo seems to be maybe more so guilty of that because a lot of people complain that the Wii is just a GameCube with a new controller.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what the Wii is, isn't it?
Right. Well, I didn't say that claim was unfounded. I just said that that's what people say. And certainly, you know, you look at the games that are coming out for the Wii that use the Nintendo first party IP, like, you know, soccer and stuff, like the Mario Strikers, the games, and Mario Kart. They're really no different than the GameCube versions.
Yes.
So he makes an interesting point, and I, you know, and look, you know, take it one step further. Look at the DSi, which we'll talk about later, I'm sure, but don't you get the feeling? I mean, maybe we talked about this. I forget, like, if we talk about this on the show or I talk about this to people, you know, in real life.
Well, you don't talk to that many real people in real life.
I did this week,
so,
though, because of Tokyo Game Show.
Well, you had people to talk to this week.
Right. Normally, I don't talk to anybody, so I would know, but, you know, the DSi is obviously just a very slight incremental upgrade to the DS Lite. And it seems the only real reason for its existence is so they can sell you all those old games that they sold you before in downloadable format.
Or, you know, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, maybe.
That's the reason for it. I mean, come on. How many games are going to use the camera?
A lot.
And that point, that quarter of an inch difference on the screen is really going to make a world of difference.
Anyway, Wombat,
I know you don't believe that. You just want to disagree with whatever I say.
Yeah, basically. It's kind of what I do. That's my shtick. Yeah.
Speaking of your shtick, Wombat.
Yeah.
Do I dare to open up this window?
Oh, go for it.
Okay. So KidVid had an interesting post in the latest show feedback thread because how did this come up, Wombat? I guess we were talking about how you mentioned to me sort of in passing off the air that I guess you were, there were some issues going on in your personal life, and you were looking for some extra bucks, I think, right? Is that correct?
Well, sort of. No, what was happening was that I was having, the issue was, I guess, our work hours. My wife's company changed their policy, and I was just, you know, at my wit's end trying to figure out what I could do. And I said, oh, I am, you know, in a moment of frustration, in a mostly joking manner, I said, why don't you just hire me full time so I don't have to worry about this anymore, and I'll just work from home.
Right.
Yes,
and maybe I didn't realize it was sort of a joking manner because it was done over Instant Messenger, and it's hard to get a feeling of what's serious and what's not.
Like, yeah, I wasn't expecting you to turn around and go, "Yeah, great idea." I was
sign you up. What's your although direct deposit number?
Although your actual answer was why, and that's when I told you the story. So.
Right. Well, maybe I was thinking, like, why on earth would I do that? It's more of what I meant by why. But anyway, let me read you KidVid's feedback, and then we can discuss a little further. He says, I don't understand why Wombat feels he's entitled to a piece of keg. Wombat's approach is, if you pay me, I'll do more for the site, which is not getting him anywhere, nor should it. Whereas Shipwreck has been a contributor, and to my knowledge, gets not a dime from Cheapy. Difference is, Ship acts like he loves being part of CAG and has carved out a section he can call his own. The keyword being acts. No, I'm just kidding. I think he likes it. Cheapy has every right to feel that Shipwreck should be hired over Wombat because of that. Attitude and willingness to contribute to the sake of contributing oftentimes gets rewarded. I bet there are bigger things in store for Ship because of his great attitude. Look what paying Wombat to contribute gets you. Have you seen his Yu-Gi-Oh! Blog? Yippee! Or Yipe? Yipe. I'd pick Shipwreck any day of the week. And then he goes on to say, Wombat has blown a golden opportunity to impress CAG readers and make a bigger presence for himself on Cheapy's website instead of opting for the much less trafficked Yu-Gi-Oh! Site. I don't think that's true. I don't think it's less trafficked. If he would have invested his time and efforts into CAG without complaining so much or acting like Cheapy owes him because he shares a billing on the podcast, I bet he would be further along in realizing his dream of working in the gaming field. Wombat is lucky to have hitched his wagon to Cheapy Star. It's too bad he's not smart enough to see a great opportunity right in front of him. All right, let me defend you for a second, Wombat.
Oh, wow, this is new. Okay.
This is new. You know, you did ask me about the UGL thing, and I thought it would be a great idea for you. So don't, you know, I don't know. It's sort of, he sort of hinted that, like, that was a mistake, and I don't think that was a mistake at all. I think that's great for you. Maybe this is not a defense of you, actually, now that I think about it. You know, one of the reasons that I said that I would hire Shipwreck over Wombat if I was going to hire somebody is, I don't know, Shipwreck seems to be able to put in more time anyway, just because, you know, Wombat's got a baby, first of all. And, you know, Wombat also is not as good of a writer as Shipwreck, I would have to say. No offense, Wombat.
No, that I would not argue with you. I would also say that Shipwreck is a better writer than me. But then again, none of the things that I wanted to do for... It's funny, because when we talked about it, you asked, well, what would you do? None of the things that I would probably do for this website would involve me actually creating content for the website.
Right, not and that all I... those things would not be something I would need to pay anybody for.
Well, not at the moment.
Not at the moment.
Exactly. My strong points don't necessarily warrant... you know, creating content for the website, and that really wasn't the discussion that you and I had about what to do for the show, and also to slam Shipwreck while I can. He right. does get a dime from Cheapy.
Not from me.
Well.
He runs some advertisements on his podcast, and he keeps all the money, of course, as
yes.
he should.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, but he does get money.
He gets some money, but it's not, you know, it's not a lot. But yes, he does get some money, and it's not from me. It's not out of my pocket, certainly. I mean, I just think it's hard to find something for Wombat to do, especially since he's working a full-time job. Now you're commuting into Manhattan, which kills, 2 hours of your day, easy?
About 3 hours a day.
3 hours a day.
Yeah, I spend about 3 hours a day commuting.
And he's got a newborn baby. So I think it's just, you know, I understand that Wombat would like to have money if he can get it. for me, but it's just going to be a difficult situation to have to, you know, schedule-wise for you, Wombat.
Well, no, my question to you was not about pay me to do something. I've never asked you to pay me to just do something. I said, why don't you just hire me full-time? That's a difference. That's a different...
Right.
That was my comment in passing, because that would have solved the problem that was frustrating me that day.
Right, I see. What's frustrating you today, by the way?
Anything? Oh, everything. Everything's frustrating.
This
me
conversation?
Today. Well, no, this conversation is fine, because I think there was a lot of misunderstanding on what people thought I said.
Right,
and
I think so.
And what, you know, people think, like, I don't know where anyone would think I felt like I have a sense of entitlement from you.
Right.
I don't.
Right, you get some money anyway.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but some. Anyway,
some.
Enough of that. I'm getting bored of this conversation.
Me too.
And I think we should move on to some game shopping news first, because the big one is here, folks. Yep, it's the Toys R Us buy two, get one free sale that everybody loves. Buy any two games in stock, get one free, and it's good this week until the 18th. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. And that's a Toys R Us. Did I mention that? Also at Toys R Us, another pretty cool thing, 40% off any Wii accessory except for the Wiimotes and the Nunchucks. But if your store happens to have point cards, you can stock up on those, which is fantastic. 40%
off. Yeah, I went to my Toys R Us on Sunday because it's across the street from the supermarket.
Yeah.
They didn't have any point cards, and I couldn't find three games I wanted that were the same price.
Wow. And, well, they also have, like, you know, if you wanted to get, like, the Zapper with Link's crossbow, I think that qualifies.
I wanted the Sure Shot is what I wanted.
But yeah, that qualifies. Yeah, no,
it qualifies, but they didn't have it. You see the difference?
Yeah. The, that Nyko charging station is a good thing to pick up. I have that. I really like that.
I should also I have that, actually. I'm looking at it right now. I'm like, yeah, I guess a charging station. I'm like, oh, wait, I have a charge.
Right.
And I barely use the Wii, so...
Right, you really don't need to charge it that much.
No, not really.
Okay, so that's Toys R Us. Best Buy, if you buy Saints Row 2, you get a Boys in the Hood DVD. Great movie. I love that movie.
You would.
I would like that. I remember I saw that movie. I remember seeing that in the theater. And, God, I can't... I saw it on Long Island, and I saw it in a neighborhood that was sketchy, a little on the sketchy side. And I remember being very scared leaving the theater. Because I really didn't... Because, you know, I could see, like, people could get pretty angry watching
that
movie. That
you were there? Or just
not that
in general?
No. Just the movie is, like,
oh,
it's
okay.
If you're a young black man and you watch that movie, I could see how you could get pretty fired up. You know, just in general, not against the white man, but just against any, you know, just all fight. You know,
you just can't
killing.
Have a conversation like this without offending like 17,000.
I don't think
people.
That's offensive. It's a great movie. Anyway,
yes.
Did I mention I hate black people?
You tend to do that at least once a show.
I like black people. Circuit City, Wombat. I like Circuit City. That's for sure. If you buy a $50 Wii game, you get a second one 50% off. So that's pretty good.
That is pretty
good.
Also,
a bunch of $10 gift card deals. Saints Row 2, $10 gift card with that. Mm-hmm. Dead Space, $10 gift card with that. Also, Spectrobes, $10 gift card with that. Also, on the website, it looks like both the old Spectrobes and the new Spectrobes have $10 gift cards. Not sure if the old one, you get that in store.
I thought that was just a misprint in the ad, like they were showing the wrong picture.
No, I mean, I looked on the website.
Really?
They were both,
I'll take your word for it.
And the guy might go off the, you know, he might use the ad to update the website. I don't know.
I don't know.
It was there when I checked. All right, let's do some new releases, but maybe we'll do them quickly, Wombat.
Yes, because there's another show on the website
that covers these.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do only the games that I care about, Wombat.
Okay, this should be quick. I think there's only one for you.
Well, Dead Space.
Yes, which I guess you do care about.
I do. It got a B+ from 1UP.
Like a really cool game. It does look like a really cool game.
It looks like, I don't know, it's a third-person action survival horror game that takes place on a spaceship, right?
Yeah, it has a very, if you ask me, it has kind of a Bioshock-y kind of feel, but I think I'm not the first person to say that.
Right, or Resident Evil with like a competent shooting system.
Maybe. The guy is funky looking too, in that big clunky suit.
Yeah, it looks cool. Like actually on the core, you know, the PS3 core thing, they have a whole feature about Dead Space. So I watched that. I ordered it. I'm pretty sure I ordered it from PlayAsia already. I should double check on that, actually.
You should.
I order so much stuff from there. I just...
Well, I mean, are you really going to play it when the game that you've been waiting for 2 years it comes out this week also?
Saints Row, you mean?
Saints Row 2. No, I was going to say FIFA Soccer 09. Yes.
Rock Revolution, you mean?
Boogie Superstar is what I'm talking about.
No, Saints Row 2. Yeah, I am looking forward to Saints Row 2, as you know, and I did get a chance to play it at Tokyo Game Show. Hold on, wait. Let me see if there's any other games I want to talk about this week, and then I'll get back to Saints Row.
Caesar Milan's Dog Whisperer, the game.
No, My Japanese Coach comes out for the DS for $30 this week. It's one of those My Blank Coach series. I'm going to buy that and let you guys know how it is. It's just not quite out yet.
Sam and Max Season 1 comes out for the Wii.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. That is cool.
SOCOM Confrontation comes out.
That's right, with the official PlayStation headset.
Yeah, I checked out the headset. They had it at TGS.
And?
It looks cool. I mean, it's pretty cool looking. I didn't actually try it on because I didn't play SOCOM. But...
And you already had one rash. You don't need another.
Right, I didn't need a rash on my that you could see easily.
People think you're sticking your head up your ass.
Yes. Let's see what anything on the DL. World of Goo for the Wii for $15. That's been getting pretty good feedback, I think.
Yeah, it has. And Age of Booty comes out this week too.
I don't know anything about either of those games, Wombat. I'm not gonna lie.
Age of Booty looks pretty good.
Yeah. That's a Genesis game?
No, that's a brand new Capcom
game. It's a brand new game. Oh, because Shipwreck wrote Genesis on here.
Maybe he's thinking of another game. I don't know. I can't see that because you won't give me the privileges to read the thing you want me to read for the show.
If I hired you full time, I would give you the privileges. That comes with it.
Oh, does that come with it? All I want is a larger PM box and the ability to see the page that you keep telling me I need to see every week.
IGN gave World of Goo a 95.
Really? That's a pretty high score.
That's pretty fucking solid. Ooh, yes. I cursed Wombat.
For shame.
All right. Anyway, just check out the Shipwrecks show for the. I mean, if they're going to do a show, are they doing? I guess they're doing a show because I have the thread here.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. What else have we got here? Let's get right into this whole Tokyo Game Show nonsense, Wombat. We got a good hour to talk about that. Which should be plenty of time. And
this is the part of the show where I take a nap and you just talk.
I'm sure you followed along some of the news, the bigger news stories. There weren't too many big news stories.
No.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Before the show started, a couple of days before the show started, I got in contact with Major Nelson.
I know him.
And we had a date.
Awesome. Did you take him to the place I told you to take him to?
The tranny sex bar?
Yes, the tranny sex bar. Well, I know both of you are into that, so I...
No, you wanted me to take him to some crazy food place.
Yes.
No,
that serves booze with snakes in the bottle and serves live frogs for us.
I've had the booze with snakes in the bottle.
How is it?
It's not great.
No.
I like sake better. Regular old, plain old sake.
I have a bottle of sake in the house right now.
Anyway, so Major Nelson had a couple hours free, so I went to Shinjuku, and we hung out for a little bit, and it actually worked out great because, well, one part worked out great. My camera that I just bought last year broke. Somehow, like, the LCD screen got, like, a big circle in the middle that you couldn't see through. I have no idea. It was, like, a perfectly round circle.
Like, in the screen, like a hole, or...
Not a hole. It was, like, just a gray blot, circular blotch on the screen that you couldn't see through.
A condom ring?
It was small. It was not a condom ring. And, of course, I managed to lose my warranty slip, and so I had to pay for the repair. But, this is how crazy Japan is with their customer service. Canon has a repair center in Shinjuku, so it worked out perfectly for my Major Nelson visit, that You bring your camera in, and they have it fixed in 2 hours. How crazy is that?
What if they can't fix it in 2 hours?
Well, then actually mine took longer than 2 hours. It took 4 hours.
That's a lot. See, that's longer than 2 hours.
That is long because they had to replace the whole probably LCD screen.
Tell you how it broke? Not that you would know what they were saying.
No, I have no idea what they were saying. I always just shake my head when people tell me stuff.
So do you think maybe you had it in your pocket too close to a piece of change or something?
I think I don't know. I kept it in a case on my last trip, and I don't know. It's a weird problem. And I tried Googling, and I couldn't figure it out. Anyway, I paid $90, and they fixed it in 4 hours. And in the meantime, when I dropped it off, I went to Major Nelson's hotel. He was staying at the Lost in Translation Hotel, by the way.
Oh, very nice.
And we went to check out we went to try to get him a SIM card for his phone. Because, you know, so he wouldn't have to pay, international roaming charges. And would you believe he forgot his passport to go buy the SIM card?
Wait, he didn't bring his passport at all to Japan?
He did, but he left it in the hotel.
He probably left it in the hotel. I thought you meant, he left it in
No. I mean, he probably didn't forget it. He just probably didn't realize that he needed it. But after that, we went to the Toto Showplace, I think it's called, to check out all the super Japanese toilets and bathtubs, which is something that he was very interested in. And it was awesome, man. They got some. If you want to spend $3,000 on a toilet, that's the place where to go, basically.
That's a lot of money for a toilet.
It has a lot of buttons on it. I don't know exactly what they all do. I think some of them even like will investigate your duty to see what's going on.
That's nuts. As someone who's been recently priced out toilets, it's a lot of money for a toilet.
Right. That is nuts. And sometimes they may find nuts in your duty.
I was just about to say that. Way to steal my joke.
Sorry. So it was fun. I only spent 2 hours with the good major, but nice guy. And we had a good time. I wish I was hoping that I'd be able to take him out for dinner, but didn't. He just didn't. He was very busy. He's a busy guy. Anyway, I also got to hang out with Chris Grant from Joystick, because after he's staying in Japan, I guess, for a couple weeks after TGS. And I took him out to a steak dinner. He ate Rock Solid Audio's steak. Rock Solid Audio was supposed to come to Tokyo, and I was supposed to take him out for a steak dinner. And 1UP gave him the shaft, and he didn't get to come.
Boo to them.
I'm pretty sure Chris enjoyed your steak. One thing that I did not enjoy was Ty was sick. Ty, it seems anytime there's a game show, Ty gets sick. He just knows this is the worst possible time for him to get sick. And he does. And although my mother-in-law was here for part of the time, she actually took off the night that we were supposed to have dinner with Chris. So, and Ty was feeling better, so we figured it was okay to bring Ty with us to dinner. And Ty had a cough, like a cold and a cough.
I know what those are like, yes.
So I brought Ty in one of those carriers that you strap him to your chest. And
a
we
baby
jumped in
Bjorn?
The what?
The baby Bjorn.
Yeah, we have a different one. But
strap
him to the chest, and we jump in a cab to go meet Chris at the restaurant. And I don't know if you remember that the last time Ty had a cough, that I was bringing him to daycare. Remember, it was the week after I saw that girl's panties, that high school girl's panties on the way to daycare.
And he threw up all over the place?
Right.
That time?
So he had pretty much the same cough that he had then. So on the way to the restaurant, inside the taxi, he emptied the entire contents of the bottle that he just drank 20 minutes before. He puked it up all over my chest, which was pretty awesome because I was about
that
to go
awesome.
Out. I was on the way to the restaurant.
Sabrina threw up all over my cheap-ass gamer shirt yesterday.
But this was an entire bottle of
milk. No, it wasn't that much. In fact, I didn't even notice because she was just kind of sleeping until I moved her away, and there was this line of milk vomit.
Yeah,
all
it's
the way
so gross. So, and I didn't have any change of clothes for me. For Ty, I just took his overalls off, and he had other clothes underneath. But for me, I wasn't even wearing an undershirt or anything, so I sat through the whole meal with baby puke all over me. Luckily, I was wearing like a brown shirt, so it didn't show up that much. It was like a light brown shirt. But I'll tell you one thing, dude. That steak, so good. I eat the shit out of it. And Chris, I love Chris. Chris is...
What cut Chris of steak? Is,
huh?
What cut? What cut of steak?
What cut of Chris?
For you and Chris.
Oh, it was a filet mignon. It was 300 grams of Yonezawa filet mignon.
Woman steak.
It was awesome.
It's a woman steak.
What do you mean it's a woman steak?
Filet mignon is a woman steak. It's small and has no bone. That's a woman steak.
It's the most delicious thing ever.
Man steak is large and has a bone in it, like a T-bone.
But this is or a Japanese restaurant, dude.
Or
this
a ribeye.
A Japanese steakhouse. Shit's different here. You got to understand that. Anyway, I was saying that Chris is one of my favorites in the industry. Nice, super nice guy, smart guy. I got to hear all the secrets that I can't talk about.
Excellent.
Anyway, on to the actual show itself. So Thursday, on
Thursday.
Oh, you
actually went?
I actually went to the show, believe it or not, and I showed up Thursday morning, not too early because I wasn't very interested in like this keynote roundtable they had, so I didn't have to get there too early. And I showed up, and I figured because of that, the line wouldn't be so bad to pick up the badge. But it was freaking insane. It was incredibly long. And as I'm waiting online, I spot the guy who does one of the anchor guys for Bloomberg News, who I know. And so we're shooting the shit for a while, and then I'm done. When he's bored of me, I turn around and there's Jon Snow from Wired Games blog, who you know, I just went to that his book launch party with Brian Ashcraft, and he's got a couple of the Kotaku guys with him. Now he's right behind me. He's literally behind me. Like there's one person between us.
Okay.
And of course, 5 minutes later, Crescente. Gets in line with him.
Uh-oh.
His guys. So the show hasn't even started yet. And now I'm on basically what amounts to an hour, at least the line was at least an hour long of waiting. And I got Crescente there, but everything was fine. It wasn't awkward. I think that both of us just don't even want to talk about it anymore. So I think the game we're playing is that nothing ever happened.
That's a good game to play.
That's what
that
I'm
game.
Playing anyway. And we
so
just,
you guys, so it's like you guys are married.
Right. We forget about the huge fight that we had, the day before.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean
until you're stupid enough to bring it up by mistake.
Right, or do it again.
Didn't you say your mother-in-law was going to come by?
Right. Anyway, it was fine. It wasn't awkward at all. We had some laughs on the line, and everything was cool. Whatever. It is what it is, Wombat, right?
Until he gave you that rash.
Right. I heard he sabotaged the toilet for me. He put some sort of itchy powder. Anyway, so as soon as I got through that long line, the first thing I did was head over to the Microsoft booth because in my pregame reading, it looked like Microsoft was going to have the most games there. And I think that was definitely true. I mean, I honestly think that they had the best show out of everybody. Or maybe the best booth.
Of course you would think that.
I would think that, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they just had so many games. They had a ton of games. And, you know, like the Sony booth had a lot of games, but, you know, it was spread out between the PS3 and the PSP. It almost seemed like there was more PSP stuff there. And, you know, some of the PS3 stuff just wasn't very interesting. Like, you know, the latest SmackDown wrestling game and Naruto and stuff like that. But so the first thing I did was I played Resident Evil 5 because I figured that might get a long line. So they had like 15 kiosks of Resident Evil 5 at the Microsoft booth. So I got to play quite a bit of that. And, you know, it's just like RE4, but in Africa instead of in a European village. I still do not like the control system that you cannot move when you're shooting.
Have you ever tried to fire a gun and run at the same time?
I'm not saying run, Wombat, but maybe I could take a couple steps.
It's really hard to shoot while walking. I'll say it. It's hard.
How do
you
know?
And I can understand why they, because I've shot a gun before in my life.
Where have you shot a gun before?
I used to compete in riflery competitions when I was a child.
What?
Yep. In summer camp.
You were due from Long Island. What summer camp did you go to?
I went to Trails End Camp.
I know Trails End.
There you go.
I went to Starlight.
Really?
You know Starlight, right?
Jap. And...
Whatever, dude. I'm sure. Well, how many, what was the percentage of Jewish people at that camp?
I'm going to go somewhere between 99.9% and 100.
Right, exactly. So look who's talking.
Anyway, yeah, they had a very nice, well set up riflery range. It was a big deal there.
See, we didn't even have that.
And I was really
who's
good
the
at
jab
it.
Jab now.
And I was even registered. I was a registered junior marksman. So
wow.
There.
But that's a rifle.
That was a rifle. But you know what? Right. It's really hard to move and shoot at the same time. It's really hard to shoot a gun
but
sitting
still. But
it's
not impossible.
It's not impossible, but okay. You know what? Most games that do it, I mean, it's not particularly realistic. So I can understand why they would go that route. And I don't think it's a negative. I think it's a positive. I think it makes the game different than every other game out there that's like it. It makes it different than... If you want to run and shoot, get Gears of War 2. If you want to stand still and shoot, you can get Resident Evil 5. And either game you're going to get, you're going to be happy with both of them.
Yeah, I mean, it does look good, and it's certainly fun to pop the zombies' heads off. I just had a trouble with... You know what the biggest problem was? And this isn't the game's fault. This is just like the demo's fault. Is that you couldn't invert the Y-axis.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't even an option. Like, all the demo kiosks and all these types of games, I guess Japanese people prefer to not have that inverted. So you have to go in and find the option menu and do it yourself. But this
one,
you couldn't
do it. Oh, that
would
drive me nuts. That would drive me nuts, yeah.
Yeah, there was no option in this one to do that. So it did drive me nuts, but I don't know. I'm interested in the game. I'm interested in the co-op part of the game, and, it definitely looked cool. But,
I think it was announced today that Leon isn't in it. Is that what it is?
I don't even care about the story. I finished the last one. I really enjoyed RE4. I played through RE4
three times.
Yeah, you liked it too. So, okay, I mean, that's a game that a lot of people are looking forward to. It was interesting how at the Capcom booth, they also had this RE5. They call it Biohazard in Japan.
Yes,
I am
aware of that, yes.
So the line was... At the Capcom booth, you could either play the PS3 version or the 360 version, and the line was much longer if you wanted to play the PS3 version.
Did it look any different on one version or the other?
I can't imagine that it would be different, but I don't know. I didn't see. Also, I mean, they had so many games at the Microsoft booth. I mean, clearly the whole push was Japanese role-playing games. They got those Square Enix games coming out. Star Ocean 4 and The Last Remnant, and they had huge stations set up to play those games. Like, they had like a tiered stadium seating style setup for, I think it was Star Ocean. So Japanese people seem to be interested in that. Myself, not so much.
Were the lines long for that?
They had a lot of kiosks, so I don't think it was too bad. And, keep in mind, I went on the business days, the press days, not on the general public days. So the lines were definitely shorter for everything on the days that I went.
I'm sure.
Let's see. What else did they have? It was interesting to see, like, what Western games they had on display there, too. Before we do that, I'll mention Ninja Blade, which is not a Western game. It's from Software.
But who's it from?
I don't know. I don't know Software.
That's a stupid name.
So this is, if you've read about this game, it's basically like Ninja Gaiden, but with QuickTime events and slow-mo. It's got QuickTime events, Matrix moves, and like night vision or like ninja vision or something like that. It didn't seem bad. I mean, it seemed like the game's not going to be ready for a while, and I'm not sure when it's supposed to come out. But it seems like it could use some more polish and like maybe like a faster frame rate. It seemed a lot slower than Ninja Gaiden. You know, like Ninja Gaiden, so fast, like it's like you're jumping back and forth and slicing guys
what's
up.
What's it like? Oh yeah, I know what that means.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This one is not like that, but it has potential.
It's more.
I'd really rather have From Software make Chrome Hounds 2 instead of this game.
Is that who they are? They made Chrome Hounds.
They make a lot of robot type games, I think. Anyway, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. They did have Bionic Commando, the real, you know, like the new Bionic Commando,
yeah.
Not the remake
yeah,
that everybody has already. And I played that, and I don't know, man. I think this game is gonna. I mean, I know they just delayed it till next year, and I think it's because the controls are just really difficult.
That's too bad.
It's weird. Like the game looks good. Like the graphics are nice. But you can only, I mean, it seems like you can only lock your arm onto certain things, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's just the whole swinging part, which is obviously the biggest part of the game, it's Bionic Commando, is really just difficult and not intuitive. Like, the camera, like, you don't know what if you're going to be able to make the jump properly or not. It seems like there'd be a lot of luck to it. It seems like it could be very frustrating to play this game in its current state. Which is probably why I gave up so quickly. But I don't know. I'm glad that they're giving this one some more time because it needs to go back in the oven and they need to figure out a way to make this swinging work because that's the whole game, Wombat. You can't have Bionic Commando without swinging.
Well, you could, but then it'd be like making, I don't know, a Golden
Commando.
Axe game without co-op.
Right. It would just be like Commando and they already have that game.
That's true, too.
Ubisoft had a lot of games there, which I was sort of surprised to see. I don't remember them having a big footprint inside the Microsoft booth before. I could be wrong. We're still in the Microsoft booth, by the way. They had Far Cry 2, which I played 3 out of the 4 games they had there. Far Cry 2 I played, which I don't know. It seemed okay. I didn't seems to differentiate itself from other first-person shooters very much, except you know you can drive vehicles. I don't know. It didn't do a lot for me, really.
See, that game looks really good to me, so I'm surprised that you didn't like it.
Don't say that I didn't like it, but because I like any first-person shooter that is playable and remotely fun, I'll probably get it and play through it at some point, but.
How did it look, and were you able to, like, actually see? Because it's supposed to be in a very large, you know, kind of open-world landscape.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It was very brown, Wombat. It was very brown.
Well, now we know why I didn't like it.
How dare you?
You set me up.
I did set you up. I don't know, it just seemed very... It wasn't, like, in a lush jungle. I was in, like, the fields of brown. And there's some parts, some things were cool, like... Somebody sets, there was like a fire, and the fire was spreading through the grass, which was kind of neat. I don't know, like, the problem with playing all these games at Tokyo Game Show, or really, you know, most any game show where you're waiting in line and then standing at a kiosk, you know, a foot away from a big TV set, is that it's far from a good environment to be testing out a game. Like, you can't hear anything. It's just, you know, you got people waiting behind you. The whole experience is sort of...
I can't play a game standing up.
No, it's just the whole thing. I know people, like, think, oh, it must be so awesome to go to these shows and be able to play these games. It's much better in theory than it is in practice.
Like communism.
I mean, personally, my favorite part about all these shows is not going to play these games. Because, like, you know, frankly, the games aren't done, and like I said, it's not a great environment for the reason I just mentioned. My favorite part is being able to just socialize with people, and I guess that's because, you know, I sit at home all day and I don't talk to anybody.
Well, that's
your own fault. A few times a year, I get to have a life. Sort of.
Maybe.
It's a sad life I lead, Wombat. I know people think that the life of an internet entrepreneur space pimp is... very glamorous, you know, but it comes at a cost, Wombat.
Would you like to trade for my 3-hour commute?
No.
What was that? I missed
no
that.
Thanks,
what,
sir. No,
sure?
Thank you. I'm not that lonely.
Yeah, exactly. Don't cry for me. For you, whatever.
No, I'm going to say, no, I will say, certainly do not cry for me because I have a great gig. You know, there's a downside to Wombat.
It's not
there's
so
a
down.
Sad panda inside of
it's
me.
It's not so down.
Well, a little bit. I don't realize it until, like, how excited I get to, like, speak to somebody.
That happy to talk to me.
Well, you know, you're not in person. I mean, like, in person, human interaction. People must think I'm insane because, I don't know, I must be way too excited when I talk to everybody. Anyway, let's go through some more of these things at the Microsoft booth. They also had Street Fighter 4 with those with the real controllers that you could play. They're at the Sony booth also and the Capcom booth. But actually, I played Street Fighter 4, but I wound up playing it at the arcade after I said goodbye to Major Nelson. I had some time to kill. And I played some Street Fighter 4 at the Smoky Arcade. There was nobody in the arcade, yet it still reeked of cigarettes, and I still reeked of cigarettes when I walked outside. I'm not sure exactly how that happened. But, I don't know. Game seems pretty cool if you like Street Fighter. I really did not know what I was doing. I mean, I knew, like, all the old moves, but there's, like, all these, like, super moves and, you know. I'm an old-school Street Fighter guy. I never played, like, the latest versions. I never made it past, like, Turbo Championship Edition. But I don't know, it seemed cool. I took Honda and I got to the last guy, and then I died on the last guy and I didn't bother continuing. it's like almost $1 to play. It's like 100. It was 100 yen.
That's not bad.
It's not bad to play $1?
I mean, I guess it's hard to say. Really?
That's bad.
I don't think $1 is that bad, actually. No, I don't. I mean, considering what you get, I think a lot of people are very interested in the game. And if you really want to play Street Fighter 4 in this day and age, and isn't $1 what arcade games cost in Japan? Like, isn't every game $1?
I don't even know. It could be. Yeah, I'm sure it's in line with everything else.
That's what I mean. It's not like if you said was $1 and this was $1, I'd be like, well, that's crazy.
No. It's interesting because the way they set up these fighting game machines in Japan is each machine only has one joystick on it. So when you play versus somebody, there's a machine right behind your machine. They're all back to back, so you never really see the guy unless you look around. You know, you leave your machine and then go around the corner. But I didn't play against anybody because there was nobody there. I just played against the computer.
I was gonna say because you're a wuss.
Well, I would have got my ass kicked in 1 second, and I wanted to actually play. I wanted to get my dollar's worth. I'm glad nobody came.
You wanted to play for like a good 30 seconds.
Right. Well, I played for a while, actually. The last guy, the boss, his name is Seth. And he's blue. It's pretty weird. I don't know how they came up with Seth.
Blue Seth?
Blue Seth. They should have called him Blue Seth. That would be awkward.
That's an awesome name, Blue Seth.
Also at the Microsoft booth, they had, you know, these, when there's like the M-rated games here, they're rated Z actually here. They have to hide those games. So they're in like a separate area. And the adult area for the Microsoft booth, had Fable 2, Saints Row 2, and Fallout 3. And the lines for Fallout 3 was pretty long because they were giving away bobblehead. Little vault boy.
Oh, did you get one?
Pip. Nah, I didn't wait. I didn't want to wait on the line. I played it at E3.
Oh, okay. I guess you didn't have to.
And it's coming out so soon. I mean, the only one I waited online there was Saints Row 2 because there was no line. There was one guy online, and as I was waiting online, there was another guy who was online. He was at the front of the Fallout 3 line, and He looks at me, and he was like talking to like one of the booth babes there, and he looks at me and he goes, "That's cheap ass gamer right there, that's cheap ass gamer." And then he's like really excited and he starts telling the booth babe that I'm cheap ass gamer and that I'm the best and I'm famous and like all crazy shit. And the woman has no idea what he's talking about. And the guy was like, he was a foreigner. But he spoke Japanese. And he was like so excited. And as as he's walking in, he yells out, I love you or something. Or I like you. I like you. He says, I like you. I like you. It was really weird. It was a little embarrassing.
It was media day. Should I ask him where he was from?
Yeah, he must have snuck in. I'm thinking.
No, I'm thinking he was with, like, I don't know, what's the number one newspaper? What nationality was he?
I don't know. He was brown, actually.
He was brown. So he was from Far Cry 2.
He was from Far Cry. He was maybe, like, Indian or Malaysian. Maybe Malaysian. I don't know.
Maybe he writes for the largest newspaper in Malaysia.
Why must you label these people?
Because I was trying to figure out where he was from. I wasn't labeling anyone. I actually thought it was like a European guy. Like Borat.
It was Borat. Hello, I love you. Anyway, that was funny. And, oh, I forgot to say that Ubisoft also had some other games there besides Far Cry 2. They had Hawks, which is their jet fighting game. It's their Ace Combat, but not silly. And it's Hawks is pretty cool. Have you checked that out?
I've seen pictures of it, but I wasn't at real I've nice. Never played I mean, it. No.
It plays really well, and it has a lot of features to make the game a little easier, to make the planes a little easier to fly. Like if you lock on to a target, it'll show you what direction, like it'll put like these like a little box on the screen, and when you fly through all the boxes, it'll put you right on course to intercept that target, which is pretty, you know, helpful, obviously. Looks cool, and I'm assuming it's going to have a lot of different online play options. So that's a game to keep an eye on if you're a flight guy.
I will do that.
Also, they had End War, which is their real-time, which is the Tom Clancy real-time strategy game that uses voice commands. Now, the one that they had on the show floor, you had to use Japanese to play. And I made the demo guy do it for me because we wouldn't have gotten anywhere. He kept telling me what to say, and I'm like, dude, I have no idea what you're saying. I can't even repeat it into the headset. So he demoed it for me, and that looks cool. It looks like the voice command stuff actually works. But I still don't know if I'm going to break my rule of not playing real-time strategy games because I have to do too much learning. And if I'm going to play one of them, I think it's going to be like StarCraft 2 or something.
I figured you'd say Halo Wars.
Halo Wars looked good, actually.
That's why I said it. I think if any real-time strategy game should be user-friendly, it should be Halo Wars. And I think you need user-friendly. I think StarCraft 2 may be a little bit out of your league.
Well, I was a big StarCraft 1 guy.
Okay.
You may not know that. I even bought, like, the book.
The book?
Yeah, like the guide. I can't remember. I think that's, like, the only guide I've ever bought in the last 15 years. They did go into more detail about Halo Wars at the... They did a keynote. They did the second keynote on Thursday. And I went to the keynote, and I sat next to Ludwig from Joystick.
Oh, very nice.
And I'd made jokes during the whole thing, and he probably was like, why is this guy talking to me during the keynote?
Yeah.
He probably had no idea what I was saying. Because it's, I don't know, like they were showing, like I said, the big push is these Japanese role-playing games, and they start showing like a trailer. They kicked it off with a trailer from, I think it was Star Ocean. And I don't know anything about Star Ocean from A Hole in the Wall. And they're showing, all this CG work, and it looks awesome. Like, it looks like, Mass Effect, like a Mass Effect type game, like a very serious space drama, epic, super cool, like, looks great. Like, it looks like a movie and looks like, hey, maybe this is a Japanese role-playing game I can get into. I mean, this looks pretty serious. It looks like the story is like a Mass Effect type story, like a real story, not like a silly Japanese role-playing game story that you can never follow. So I'm like, wow, maybe I'm going to check this game out. And then, sure enough, they start introducing the characters. And, it's like it's a boy with blue hair. And his name is like, he's got such a ridiculous name. It would make, like, a porn star would laugh at that guy's name. It was like Rage Inferno or something. I mean, like, and all the girls have pigtails and, like, goth skirts. It looks totally crazy. I was just like, laughing during the video because they made it seem so serious.
You probably sounded like De Niro in Cape Fear in the back of the keynote.
I was smoking a cigar.
Smoking a cigar.
Yeah. So, but I, you know, just people like it. Japanese people like it. Some American people like it. I guess not. I guess I'll stick with Mass Effect. They also announced that Tekken 6 was coming to the Xbox 360. They also announced that the new dashboard is coming on November 19th. I was hoping they were going to announce, like, the dashboard is coming today. That would have been cool.
It would have been cool, but no, it didn't happen. How many days do you think Live is down after the dashboard update?
I don't know. I heard that that you got a, if you have a core system, not a core, yeah, or an arcade system with no hard drive, Microsoft is going to have to figure out something for you guys for because you have to save.
They did figure out something for those guys. It's called buy a hard drive.
No, they're not going to make them buy a hard drive. They can't do that. I don't know what they said. They're going to do something, but we don't know what it's going to be. One of the cool things that they mentioned, you know, they give you a little demo of the dashboard. They gave a live demo, and they said that you can actually shop the marketplace from your computer, and then when you turn your 360 on, it'll download whatever you've queued up on your computer.
Weren't they supposed to do this like 2 years ago? It was called Live Anywhere.
No, Live Anywhere was that you could have your friends list on your cell phone and you could paint your Forza car.
Oh, I thought that also involved being.
You're right. Actually, you know what? You could be very, very much right, Wombat.
I don't know. We like to complain. Right.
Anyway, it seemed like a cool thing to me. It's something that I thought that they should definitely have, and it's coming. Also, they announced 99 Nights 2, which I'm sure everyone's looking forward to. That game could have been good, actually. It wasn't that far from being good.
If you just say so.
Yeah, maybe they get the second one right. Also, Space Invaders Extreme and Arkanoid Live is coming to the Xbox Live Arcade. And I think that's pretty much it for Microsoft. Oh, we did go on Thursday night. They had a community party, an international press party. And it was at the exact same place they had it last year, which was nice. It's at a hotel right next to the convention center. So I show up there with my friend Maurice from PlayAsia, and the first people I see are the Destructoid guys, Nick and Dale and Jim, and they're all waiting around. They've been here for a while, and we're looking around, and there's no food and there's no drink except for bottles of water, and I'm immediately having flashbacks to 2 years ago when they didn't serve alcohol. I'm like, no, they wouldn't do this again, because last year they had it here, and they had everything. They had dinner, they had drinks, and these guys were going crazy. Like, Nick is going crazy, because he said he didn't eat anything all day, because he was so busy, and they wound up, like, they did, like, this, it was like an XNA event, and they were showcasing all these Japanese-created XNA games, and they were giving out awards. And we noticed that there was like these closed curtains. There was a room that was closed off by curtains. So we kept peeking into the room, and we saw they were setting up food and drink in there. So we knew it was coming. But we had to sit through like an hour and a half of Japanese XNA game presentations and award ceremonies before they even served any drinks or food. So people were going crazy. And of course, the games that they were showing were like, some guy made like a CPR game where you give CPR to people. That was the game.
That's thrilling.
Yeah, and all we want to do is get some beers and some food, and we're basically being tortured. And it gets to the point where we can see like they're almost done handing out the awards. So all the whiteys, and we realize where the food is going to be served and where the drinks are going to be served. So you see all the whiteys start to jockey for position and get to like the curtained off area. And finally, and we're dying. Like one of the Destructoid guys, I think Jim had like some jelly beans. And he was handing out jelly beans to people because everybody was just dying of hunger. And finally, I have some pictures actually of all the whiteys waiting waiting by the curtains. And you know, the joystick guy showed up, the Kotaku guy showed up, and everybody eventually was waiting by the curtain. Sure enough, they pulled the curtains back, and we got our food on, we got our beers on, and we had a lot of fun. And certainly, I have so few chances to actually talk to people and to drink and socialize that it was very much appreciated. Although it was a weird decision that they made to make us wait through. It was an international press party, it said, but it was all in Japanese. And there was no, you know, at least serve us drinks so we can, you know, maybe if we're drunk, we'll be interested in the CPR game. I don't know. Then something weird happened while I was, you know, eating and drinking with these and hanging out with the Destructoid guys. This Japanese guy and woman were like, came over to the table that we were standing at, and they were just like standing there, which was weird because we were just, you know, shooting the shit about nothing. I was probably being very loud, like I said, because I'm just so happy to talk to anybody that it's like the best day of my year, basically. So eventually the Japanese guy and woman come over to me, and the woman starts speaking to me in English. And she says, "Is it okay if we talk to you?" And I was like, sure.
Did they offer $1 million to sleep with you?
I wish, dude. I would have. Well, that's funny. So she says, okay, she tells me that she's the man, the guy's interpreter. And the guy hands me his card, and he's with Enterbrain. Enterbrain is the company. They're like they do a lot of different things in Japan. They're like the NPD of Japan, but I believe they also publish magazines, and they also publish some games. So they start telling me that they're developing some software that you can use on your PC to program XNA games. It's like it's a game construction set so that people who don't know how to program can use this software, and then you can port the games right to the Xbox and upload them through XNA and all that shit, and even Zune games and whatever. So they start telling me about it, and I'm like, okay, you know, can we show you a demo of this? And I'm, you know, I just want to drink with the Destructoid guys and everybody else there. I don't want to go see a demo of something that doesn't, I have nothing to do with that. And I try to explain to them, I'm like, look, I run a site for Americans, and
did they know who you were?
I think because I was just so loud and doing probably most of the talking at our group that they figured I was important, and I was tall. I don't know. I don't understand why. I mean, certainly I wasn't dressed the best. I was in shorts and a short sleeve shirt. I don't understand why they picked me.
Maybe they thought you were like someone else that's tall and bald.
I have no idea. But I gave them my card, and they saw, like, I don't know. So I basically, they really wanted me to see the demo, and I tried to, you know, I tried to get out of it, but I was like, screw
did
it, I'll just
come
with
you. Did you tell them that you had an anal rash? That might have gotten
I don't. I didn't. I don't know if I had the rash quite yet. So they take me to the demo, and meanwhile, the Destructoid guys are at the table with me, and Maurice from PlayAsia. They're all watching me like talk to these people, and they have no idea what's going on, and I have no idea what's going on. So they walk away, and I'm like, all right, I got to go with these guys. They're making me come with them. They're like, what's going on? And I'm like, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to get laid. I didn't get laid, by the way. And they're like, what? No, I think I said I'm going to get a blowjob or something. I forgot what I said, but I'm sure they were laughing. So they take me to this table, and they have a couple of people sitting at the table, and there's a laptop there, and there's a guy who starts to demo the software. And it's some, you know, it's whatever. It's some stupid construction. I don't know if it's not stupid, but it is what it is. You can make your XNA games with it. But while they're doing the demonstration, there's a FIFA soccer tournament going on. And we're sitting like right by the PA system, and they're doing like color commentary for the FIFA. There's somebody doing color commentary for the FIFA tournament. So the guy's trying to give me this demonstration, and it's like very serious. They're all gathered around the table, and every 3 minutes you hear "Shuto goal!" like right in our ears. And I'm just laughing, and I'm pretty drunk at this point anyway. And it was just like, I was like, all right. And then they finished the demo, and I'm like, all right, thanks. You know, let me know when it's done. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this information, really, but I don't know. Then I drank. I left them, and I drank more, and they kicked us out. We were the last people to leave, as always.
Drank what all their you don't beers. Know is that it you was... promised the guy that you would invest $1 million into his new product.
Good luck collecting on that. As long as he didn't take it out of my wallet right then and there, I think we're safe. Okay, so that's pretty much the Microsoft stuff, I think. Should we move on to Sony?
I did want to add one quick thing.
Yeah.
Because I brought this up. I don't know if you were aware, but I was on the Player One podcast that was mm-hmm. came out yesterday for those listening to it now.
Mm-hmm. I was aware. I listened to the beginning of it.
Yes, you did. You listened to the whole beginning.
Yes.
Which is a lot for you, so I guess I have to appreciate it.
Yes.
And one of the things that we talked about that we thought would be funny was because we were looking at all the old free gamer picks that no one ever uses anymore.
Okay.
And IK said, yeah, I wonder why no one ever uses that Jack Black gamer pick anymore. The one from Nacho Libre?
Right, right.
And we decided that on October 20th, we should all switch our gamer picks over to the Jack Black Nacho Libre gamer pick.
Very nice.
And October 20th will be official Jack Black Xbox Live Day. So,
right.
So I think that we should all do that. That's all. I think
good luck with that.
I think it'll be a nice, funny little joke.
Good luck. It may not be funny, but it is little.
It is funny.
Okay, it is funny.
It is funny.
All right, so all at the Sony booth. Oh, wait, I skipped. I'll do the EA booth really quick, and then we'll do the Sony booth, because the EA booth is right across from the Microsoft booth. I played Mirror's Edge.
The parkour game?
The who?
Parkour.
What's that mean?
It's the style that the woman in the game moves. It's, I guess, a martial art of sorts.
Oh, okay. See, I did not know that.
Yes. It's called parkour. She moves through the environment seamlessly.
Ah, okay. Yeah, well, that is Mirror's Edge, basically. It's a first-person shooter where you don't shoot, but where you jump a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's like a first-person platformer, really.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, there is a little bit of hand-to-hand combat that you can get into, but I think that's sort of discouraged that you're supposed to sort of just stay out of people's
Didn't
way.
Didn't you ever see Casino Royale?
I did.
Okay, you know the scene in the beginning when he's in Africa and that guy keeps jumping?
Yeah, free running,
they
call that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's the parkour guy.
Okay, yeah, that's... I mean, so I played through the demo. I played through the whole demo. It was fun. I had a good time. It's definitely a different type of game. You do get like a very cool sense of motion, and you know, you make these huge jumps across the gaps between buildings. I think it works pretty well. I'm looking forward to seeing like if you're going to get bored with the game because you're just really doing the same thing over and over again, and you're not even just you're not shooting people. You're just jumping around. And you're basically just jumping on the red things. The things that you're supposed to be interested in are red. So you look for the red things and you jump on them. But seemed like an interesting concept. I enjoyed the demo. Looking forward to checking out the full version of that game. I know our friend Nick, Rock Solid Audio, whatever, just finished the game and I think he liked it. He's writing the review for 1UP. Also at the EA booth, they had Need for Speed Underground, which I was pretty impressed with. I always sort of liked the Need for Speed games and wondered why they took out the whole cops and robbers part of it.
Well, that was always the best version. Thing. Yeah, that was the best part of
that
the
was,
game.
Yeah, the last two versions, they didn't have the cops and robbers.
Which
right?
is why Carbon. I stopped playing it, yeah.
Right, so now they're back with that. And it's fun, of course. It's fun again. And it looks great. The cars handle well. Of course, it's like a more arcadey style racing game. But... definitely something to check out. It looks like the online mode is going to be pretty cool with the cops and robbers online mode. Actually, I remember Carbon had a party system on the online mode. I wonder if they'll be able to bring that over for Need for Speed Underground. But I was glad to see they went back to their roots. Like I don't know why like EA always seems they need to like take out the stuff that works once in a while. Maybe that was the old EA. Now the new EA is better. That
something like that.
Something like that. Also got to play Battlefield Heroes on the PC. That's gonna be the free third-person shooter online game.
Yeah, how was it?
Battlefield game. And cartoony. It's cartoony and slow. Like, everything moves pretty slow.
So it's basically you, but in game form? Cartoony and slow?
Cartoony and slow. Yeah. But absolutely. I don't know. It seemed okay. It was hard for me to play it much because the counter was so low that I had to, like, contort my wrist to use the mouse and keyboard. And my wrists hurt enough as it is. I didn't really need the aggravation. But I was surprised. I didn't realize that it was a third-person perspective. And you move pretty slowly in the game as well. But, hey, it's free. So, I mean, obviously it's worth checking out if you have an interest. Okay, on to Sony. Like I said before, Sony's booth, you know, they had the PSP and the PS3 stuff set up. So there really wasn't all that much PS3 stuff to play. A lot of the booth was dedicated to this big theater that they have where you can just watch trailers. That takes up a big portion of the booth. But I did play Killzone 2. I got to play a single player level of that. And the game looks like it's coming along really nicely. I mean, the graphics are great. It played well. I enjoyed the death animations of the guys, which is always very important in a first-person shooter. And it looked nice, and it felt good. So it looks like that game's coming along pretty well.
I'm not surprised.
It did, the beta, I mean, the thing did crash on me while I was playing it, but, you know, that's to be expected.
Yeah.
You know, the game's not coming out till next year, right?
Yeah, that's next year. Resistance 2 is soon.
Is this year. Yeah, I didn't play Resistance 2 because the line was longer for that, and I didn't feel like going back in line. I did go and play Flower.
How is that? I'm actually interested in that game.
Well, this is the PlayStation Network, the PlayStation Network game from the people that made Flow. That game company, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what it's called?
I'm a big fan of Flow.
Well, if you liked Flow, I think you're really going to like Flower. Because it's more flow.
Which I will like it, but it has like more solid graphics, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, this is the absolute worst environment to play this game in because you can't hear it and the games right next to it are so loud. I mean, this game I think is going to be about like relaxing in your living room, come home from a hard day's work, and, you know, much like Flow, it uses the six-axis control, and you basically steer around flower petals through open fields, and you steer them into flowers, and, you know, your trail gets longer and longer of the different petals that you pick up, and you're turning like brown patches of grass into green patches of grass. It obviously, you know, is sort of a difficult game. I mean, that's the game. That's it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to like it. I've actually been debating whether or not I want to pick up Linger in the Shadows, which is another one of those kind of games that came out last
really?
Week. Yeah, it's $3 on the PSN.
Oh.
And I watched the trailer, and it looks like the same type of thing where you just go through basically a big painting.
Oh, cool. I'll check that. There's no demo, though, right?
No, there's no. It's $3.
Right, it's pretty cheap. Yeah. $3, I'll pretty much buy anything.
Yeah, that's why I was going to pick it up. Actually, if we weren't doing the show today, I probably would have picked it up tonight, but we're doing the show, so.
Well, I think you'll like Flower. I mean, this is the game, like, if I could take a few bong hits and play, I think I'd really like it a lot more.
See, I do that. I play these kind of games because I can't do that anymore, and it's just, you know.
Why not?
Because I don't. When and where, really?
You have an apartment. You can. A house, I mean.
I have a house.
Can't you go into the basement and you put up your like Led Zeppelin velvet glow in the dark picture and your black light?
Yes, that's what I do. And I wear my jean jacket.
You wear your jean jacket and it smells like bong water.
Yep.
No.
And I wear a headband.
Well, Flower looks cool. Flower looks cool. I was glad I got to try that out. Also, a game that I was pretty impressed with that I was basically laughing while I was playing it. Was Loco Roco 2 for the PSP. That was a lot of fun. I only played Loco Roco, the first one, very briefly at a store once. But it looks like they've added, giving you a lot more different things to do in Loco Roco 2. And it's so cute and funny. that I laughed like three times while I was playing through the demo. And I played through the whole demo that they had there. It looks great and it sounds great and it's just colorful and fun. I wish they would put this on the PlayStation Network, because they put some Loco Roco game on the PlayStation Network and it wasn't the real Loco Roco.
No, it wasn't. It was like some sort of knockoff.
It was Noco Roco. And sure. That's no Noco Goodo. This, I mean, I would definitely buy. I'd love to play this on like a big TV. It would just be so fun. It would be great. And so definitely PSP fans, check out Loco Roco too. It's going to be great. Let's see. What else do we have here in Sony Town? Monster Hunter 3 for the PSP. The line was 3 hours long on the media day. I can't imagine what it was like when it was open to the general public.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either, but I see people playing it on the train all the time. Some news, Sony news at TGS. Tecmo announced a third-person shooter exclusive for the PlayStation 3 called Quantum Theory. Wow, I just went to Joystick and I got an Intercital ad from Best Buy. You know, like the ad that you have to watch before you go to the site?
Yes.
It's the first time I ever got one of those.
Oh, okay. You know. Well, you know, there's a lot of money in those interstitials.
Now, why they would be showing it to a visitor coming from Japan, if I'm Best Buy, I'd be pretty upset that my page views are being wasted on
your impressions.
People from countries that don't have Best Buys.
What do you think the CPM is for something like that, too? It's probably like $20.
Oh, I bet you it is, yeah. Okay, what else? I lost my train of thought here. So, yeah, so Quantum Theory is it basically looks like Gears of War for the PlayStation 3. Exclusive. Coming. Also
put made by Tecmo. So
there's
new Tecmo also.
Right. Yeah. Right. So temper your expectations.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, there's going to be a PSP Wi-Fi store opening in Japan. Oh, actually today or tomorrow, actually. So, and you'll be able to download all future first-party titles.
And
so Loco Roco 2. I just mentioned Loco Roco 2. Yeah. You'll be able to download that direct.
And that's coming soon to the PSP in the States, too.
Loco Roco?
No.
Or the store?
The Wi-Fi store.
Oh, they announced that?
Yeah, cool. They announced that today. It's part of the new update, whatever it is, 5.0.
Oh. It's a whole new store. I wonder if I can... I wonder if that will work for me on my American PSP in Japan. Like, I wonder if it uses IP address or it uses the actual PSP hardware.
Well, I'm assuming that the update's going to come soon, because they also announced the new update for the PlayStation 3, which upgrades the headset, the new Bluetooth support. And I'm assuming they're going to need to have that update when SOCOM comes out, which would be in tomorrow.
Right. Did you read about this PSP Plus thing?
Oh, is this the Resistance to Resistance PSP connectivity stuff?
Yeah, you can.
You could use your DualShock to play Resistance on the PSP, but you need to have Resistance 2 to do that.
Okay, so no one's going to do this.
Well,
it sounds like it's going to take forever.
I think you'd be surprised. I think a lot of people who have both consoles will be picking up both of those games.
But the thing is, they designed that PSP Resistance game to use the PSP controls. So I don't know. Well, it's an interesting concept. It seems like a lot of hurdle jumping to make it happen.
And there is, if you connect them both, you get a second storyline for the PSP game.
Oh, all right. Well, there's something going on.
Yeah, you get a new character with different abilities, and it's supposed to be pretty cool.
Okay. So Nintendo didn't have, like, first-party Nintendo doesn't have a booth at TGS, but there was plenty of, you know, DS games there and Wii games there, none of which I was really interested in, so I didn't play any, I'm here to report. And I'm not embarrassed to say that. I just didn't really care to play them. I almost played that Wii Ski or whatever it's called, the family skiing game, but then I decided to just go home instead.
Home is nice. Figured out. I can understand.
Yeah, home was pretty good. But there was some Nintendo news that came out between last week and this week's show. One that affects me personally is that the DSi is going to have some sort of region locking. It looks like it's going to be the marketplaces, that the online marketplace is going to be region locked. So if you have a Japanese DSi, you'll only be able to connect to the Japanese DSi store.
Now, if you can get online, would you be able to connect to the Japanese store in the States with a Japanese DSi?
I have no idea. My guess, let's see. The Wii does it by the hardware. So if I have a Japanese Wii and I bring it to America, it connects to the Japanese Wii whatever servers or whatever. So, yeah, I'm guessing it's going to be hardware, totally hardware-based, the region locking.
So that might actually be something that people here want, because there's a good chance that some of those weird-ass Japanese games that the fans go crazy for, they'll be able to get if they have a Japanese DSi.
But there's a but, Wombat.
There's always a but. Tell me about your big butt, Simone.
I'm sitting on it. That's from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yes, it is.
Yes. You're going to have to import the Wii point cards, because I don't think you're going to be able to use an American credit card.
Well, can't you just buy cards in the store? Can't you buy Wii point?
But they, I don't know if it's like Microsoft, the point cards are region specific.
Oh, they are? I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure.
I learned
pretty
something.
Sure. I'm guessing that's how it is for the Nintendo stuff, but I'm not sure. That's my guess. And also, our friend Spencer at Silicon Era points out that once you, if you do buy a point card, and once you like register that point card, you know, put in the code, those points are delegated to either the Wii marketplace or the DSi marketplace that you've registered them on. So, like, if I buy a 2,000 point card and I register it on my Wii, it's not like I have some global Nintendo bank account with all my points in it. Those 2,000 points have to be used on the Wii. I can't use any of them for the DSi. Understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah, it's sort of a weird decision, but all right. Nibby, since I don't have too much to say about Nintendo, Nibby has a question, which I'll answer right now. He says, Cheapy, I couldn't help but notice that on the last CatCast, you went from disappointed in Nintendo to downright disgusted by them. What does Nintendo have to do in order to get you back? Is it too late? Well, I'm not disgusted by them. I'm sort of not interested. You know, like, I'm not mad at them. Like, I don't need them. You know, it's not like they ruining my life or anything. There's plenty of games on Xbox 360 and PS3 for me to play, and there's only so many hours in the day, and you know, we sort of talked about Nintendo strategy earlier in the show, and I'm not disgusted with them. I think I'm not their target audience anymore. You know, am I crazy, Wombat?
No. Well, what I was going to ask you is, do you feel obligated to talk about Nintendo each week?
Yes. God damn it, I do, and I don't like that.
So if it was up to you, you wouldn't even bring it up unless something actually happened.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, you know, of course they released the DSi, and that's very newsworthy, and I like to talk about that. But it is very hard for me to find Nintendo-related news that I every week that I think is interesting to me and our listeners. And often I wind up picking stuff out just for the sake of talking about it.
Okay, no, that's what I figured. I just wasn't sure.
Okay, let's go into the cat. That's my TGS wrap-up, basically. I didn't go to any other parties except for the Microsoft one. I went back to the show on Friday, but I don't know. There wasn't that much to see that wasn't like crazy Japanese games that I have no interest in. So I wound up spending like 2 hours with the PlayAsia team drinking beers in the cafeteria. And then I wound up leaving at like 2:30 or 3 o'clock because I just felt like going home. I had enough. And my balls were itching from the rash, of course. So let's go on to the CAG bag, Wombat, if you don't mind.
No,
do you mind?
No, not a problem.
Okay, we'll bang through a few of these and we'll let you go. Stuttering Billy has a question. Oh, a comment or whatever. He says, I'm sick of Wombat playing the bad guy role on the podcast. Every story, game, etc. Cheapy brings up, Wombat always takes the negative side. If Wombat wants a job in PR or marketing in the gaming field, it helps to list games and marketing campaigns that he thought were effective. No one is going to hire you if you do nothing but bash PR and marketing companies all the while asking for a job and handouts of free games. Games are not marketed to a crotchety old Jew. Being a fellow Jew, I'm allowed to say that. And that has ADD and only has good things to say about free games he gets. Generalization in parentheses. For the next CADcast, I would like Wombat to list 2 to 3 games that were great games along with smart marketing campaigns.
Okay, well, you know what? I'll even turn around. Let's look at my collection, although I did think about this. One of the games that I did pick was BioShock. I thought BioShock handled itself very well. I think that they released probably the smartest time to release a demo and maybe the best demo to date that appeared on the 360.
The game came out at an interesting time, too. Didn't it come out in, like, August or something?
No, BioShock came out. Did it come out in August? I think I want to say September.
Well, okay. It came out in the summertime.
Yeah, like...
No, definitely.
Like, I think it just beat the curve of everything else. And I think it was just the right amount of exposure to the right audience, where I think that's really where that game, the fact that
August,
it was a great,
right.
Yeah. Oh, it was August.
And August 21st.
There you go. I said September, so I was off by a week. So sue me. So I think it was just the right game at the right time. The fact that it's a great game helps.
Of course.
But I think that game handled itself very well. I think another game that, of course, you know, and I've talked about this before, and that was a game I didn't get for free. Another game I didn't get for free would be Burnout Paradise.
Yeah.
Which has done a great, an amazing job so far of keeping itself alive by consistently releasing content throughout the year. I think that's amazing what they've done. Another game would be, maybe we'll go with the combo, we'll say Rock Band and Guitar Hero. I think have both done great jobs. I think if they've done anything wrong, I think it's in the mind of the general populace, maybe not done enough to separate themselves from each other. But what they have done very well is made that themselves very aware to the general populace in a way that doesn't turn off the core audience.
They do a lot of events. They do a lot of non-gamer events and gamer events.
Exactly.
You're right. They were both very visible. You know, they would set up stages at these events,
like,
and they were
both
they were pretty
been
much
on
everywhere.
The Today Show. They've both been on you know, the local news. They've both been on, you know, they do events at your local mall. Remember, I went to that event at the Massapequa Mall for Rock Band. You know what? Why Massapequa Mall? Because that's where people live, and it's a smart way to do things. It's a, you know, they're. But at the same time, I don't feel as though they ever compromised on the game itself to turn off the people that, you know, the core gamer, I guess, the people that are listening to the show. I don't think anyone listening to the show ever said, you know, I feel like these games have sold out.
Right. So, it wasn't an embarrassing marketing campaign.
Exactly. And it was a really impressive, you know, walking a fine line that, you know, in some cases... You would probably be the first person to say Nintendo hasn't been able to do that as well.
Right.
So that's incredibly impressive. So that's three things right there. BioShock for being a little game that could, because really a new IP in this day and age to be as big a success as that was is very impressive and takes smart marketing. Burnout Paradise for keeping itself alive for over a year. And
it's downloadable on PlayStation Network
now. And it's down. I mean, really, that game just is another one. It just keeps on chugging. And the Guitar Hero / Rock Band franchise for being able to walk the line between being a casual game and a core game at the same time.
Which is how you're going to take in all the monies.
Exactly.
All right, Wombat, some more questions here. First of all, a lot of people have written to me and posted in the forums about this naked guy at the Tokyo, at the Emperor's Palace.
Yeah, I saw that, yes.
Some people thought it was my friend. Some people thought it was me. Basically, this naked British guy who lives in Spain was on a tour here, and the story's sort of weird. Like, some people say that, like, his friends are saying that they dropped something in the moat at the Emperor's Palace, and his friend jumped in to get it. But the guy clearly is crazy because in the video, he jumps, he takes off all his clothes and jumps in naked to the moat. And then when like the police come after him, he picks up a rock and starts and throws it at them. So I don't think he's just trying to retrieve a package. He was obviously mentally unstable. But it was not my friend. It was not me. I still have no idea where my friend is. I wish that was my friend. At least I know he was still here.
You don't
or something.
Know where your friend is still.
I have no idea
that's,
where he
that's
is.
That's kind of sad.
Yes, yes. Let's see. Okay, some more questions here, Wombat. Okay, here's one from B Machine. He says, I'm not sure I understand why you guys put so much stock in the opinions of your listeners. Every few weeks, Wombat says something inflammatory, the forums light up, and you've got to spend a good chunk of the next show explaining your way out of it. I like that Wombat says things that piss people off, or begs for money and free games, or doesn't get on board the hype wagon about some bloated game release. I like that Chibi thinks that everything is controversial, even when it's really not, or says that something is gay, or doesn't like black people, or talks about politics. Hey, I like black people!
No, you don't.
I do. I really do. I'm afraid that the more people call you out on this kind of stuff, the weaker the show will get. It's already not as much fun listening to the CatCast as it was in the first year or so. What's this podcast going to be like after another year of test marketing and focus grouping? At some point, can't you be content with the loyal listeners you've had instead of trying to water down the formula in order to appeal to the unwashed masses? Don't get me wrong, I think you guys are a hoot. I've listened to the CatCast since episode 10 or so and will continue to listen as long as I'm entertained by it. I'm just worried. We're not trying to talk our way out of it. I think this is our way of interacting with our listeners. I mean, we do the live show once in a while, and that's part of it. But, you know, I read your comments on the air because I think if it's something that you guys are talking about, then it's obviously something that you're interested in, and it's probably worth us talking about on the show.
And I like to say these inflammatory statements, and I'll keep being as inflammatory as I can be for that very reason. The forums light up. And
people like it. Well,
and if I were to keep saying, you know, there was the complaint in the question earlier is, you know, why am I always Mr. Negative? It's not that I'm negative or the bad guy. I don't think I am. It's just that if you come on the show with an opinion, if I, you know, just agree with you, we have a very boring show, which to be, you know, not to sound like a jerk to other shows out there, but it just makes it sound like every other show out there.
Right. And I don't think that we've watered anything down or have we, you know. Catered to anybody particularly in that way. I mean, when that guy wrote in last week, the gay guy wrote in about that. I mean, I don't know. That's just the way I feel. Like that's me telling you how I feel. It's not, I'm not telling it because I think that's how that guy wants me to feel. But you know, in real life, I don't call things gay anymore because it's gotten me in trouble in real life. It's made me embarrassed in real life. It's not because I'm afraid I'm going to offend listeners or lose listeners. Like, I don't care. You think, I mean, you know, I don't, this is not putting food on my table here, everybody. I do this is because it's fun and we talk about your feedback because I think it's interesting. That's all. Let us see. Should we, maybe we will wrap up the show and take these questions next week while I'm at.
Sounds good to me.
Because there's a lot of questions here, and I'd like to go into detail, and it's getting late. So with that, I would like to thank everybody for listening and remind you to visit Wombat's Games blog at gamesblog.ugo.com.
Which you fully support.
Which I fully support, and they pay Wombat. Unlike me, they write him a check.
Well, you've written me a couple of checks.
That's true, but it's really just a pass-through from advertising revenue.
Well, yeah.
From the show.
But I don't think I've ever asked for money for you without some sort of type of way of bringing in the money that I would be getting.
I'm going to let this dead horse just relax, I think.
Yeah, I guess you have a point there. But anyway.
I'll remind people to join our CatCast group on Facebook and to dig the CatCast at dig.com/podcasts/CatCasts. We are doing very well on Dig. We're number 2 in the game land.
Yay.
Which gets us nothing. Please review us on iTunes. Why not? I mean, you got nothing else to do. You might as well go to iTunes, type in CADcast, and review us.
That was a nice. There's a little Christopher Walken in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You've got nothing to do. You do cowbell. Yes.
Oh, what are you going to do? You're going to review us. Anyway, thanks for listening. We will see you next week.
And don't forget October 20th, Jack Black Nacho Libre Day.
Feel free to forget that, by the way.
Bye.
Bye. Happy set.
Get you. プレイステーションから楽しい仲間がやってきたよ。かわいいおもちゃが全部で4種類。ハッピーセット、マクドナルド。